Oh, the magic of Christmas. The smells, the decorations, the presents, the food, the parties. And yet, you know what? For many people, it is the loneliest time of the year. It is a time of bitter disappointment. It is a time of pain. Why? I believe it's because they haven't received the gift of God's love. Receive it and give it. That's what this program is all about. I have to admit, beloved, that I love Christmas. I absolutely love it. I love changing the house. I love putting up the tree. I love decorating. But most of all, what I love about Christmas is what happened to me many years ago when I really had my very, very first Christmas. I was saved July 16th, 1963. I went down on my knees and I was in just desperate trouble. My life was such a mess. I was a divorcee with two boys. I was an immoral woman. I had tried to be good and I couldn't be good. And on that fateful day when I went down on my knees and I cried out to God, I said, God, you can do anything that you want with me, anything at all. That was the day that God saved me, that he gave me his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he turned me from a sinner into one that had been set apart for him. Well, when that first Christmas came, all I could think of was the Christmas tree. I could think of the Christmas tree, but I had another Christmas tree in mind. And the Christmas tree that I had in mind was in the shape of a cross. And the words that went through my heart over and over and over again was, born to die that I might live. I was celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I was celebrating the birth of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who humbled himself, the one who took upon himself the form of a servant, the one who became flesh and blood, born to die so that I who was dead might have life, so that I might have a new father, and that my father might be God Almighty. That was Christmas to me, and I loved sharing it, and I loved sharing it with families and with friends and having people over and having fellowship. I know that for some of you that Christmas is just a bitter disappointment. I know for some of you that it is the loneliest time of the year, that if you ever felt unloved, that the time of year that you feel the most unloved is at Christmas. And I think, precious one, if you'll permit me to say this, that it's because all the magic of Christmas, all the tinsel that the world provides, all the decorations, all the parties and everything only increases your loneliness if you don't feel that you are loved. If you feel like nobody loves you, if you feel so lonely and so all alone, or you look at your husband, you look at your children, and they are really your enemies. You look at your wife and she's turned her back on you. You look at your people at work and you see them and you watch them and you hear them talking about all this magic of Christmas and you don't have it. And so the holiday becomes something that you dread. The holiday is something that causes you and your mind to focus on the terrible void in your life. I want you to know that we have prayed for you. We have prayed so diligently for you. And my prayer for you is summarized in Paul's prayer for those that were in Ephesus and for all believers. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. And I would like to read it to you. And then as I do, what I want to do is today, I want to talk to you about God's love for you. I want to read these verses to you from the book of Ephesians, from the third chapter. It was Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesus, but it's God's prayer and my prayer for all of us, for believers everywhere, and even for those who do not know Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a religion, but not a relationship. That's what I had. Or maybe Jesus Christ is nothing but a swear word to you, and this is the only way that you've heard it. Or maybe you've looked at Christians and you think that they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, today I want you to look at Jesus, and we're going to look at God's love for you and how this gift of love came about. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." If you want to know the essence of family, if you want to know fatherhood, if you want to know what it is to have a father that loves you with an inexpressible love, with a love that knows no limits, with a love that would pay the greatest price for you, you find it in the Father of whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Because God Almighty is the epitome of fatherhood. And he goes on to say that God the Father would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. This is what I want to happen to you today. I want you, precious one, to be strengthened with God's power in the inner man, so that no matter what goes on outside, no matter whether there's not ever, the Christmas and everything that you expected it to be, or the decorations aren't as pretty as you've seen someone else have, or the presents aren't as nice, you will be strengthened with power in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's by believing what I'm going to show you, by embracing this message from the Word of God as truth, absolute truth, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, now watch, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. My prayer for you, precious one, my prayer for you is that God will take this teaching, this truth, and he will just wrap you in all these wonderful truths. And as he wraps you in all these wonderful truths, that you will be strengthened in your inner man, that you will feel the love of God just flowing through you, and that you will know that you are beloved of God, beloved of God, that you will be rooted and grounded in love, and rooted and grounded in love, that you will know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, and that you will be filled up to all the fullness of God. This is my prayer for you. All right, now in the light of that, what I want you to see and I want you to understand is that God planned this gift of love before the foundation of the world. Before God ever spoke and brought the world into existence, do you know what? He planned to give you the gift of love. He planned to give you the gift of love, which is Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't listen to the society when they say happy holidays. I want to tell you something. Happiness is short-lived. Happiness goes with the circumstances. I don't want you to have happy holidays. I want you to have a blessed Christmas. Christ is C-H-R-I-S-T. Christ must. I want you to have a life that is filled with the love of God. And you have to know that God planned to give you this gift of love in his perfect timing. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." Now, when we think of Jesus at Christmas, we think of Jesus as a baby. But now we know him no longer as a baby. We know him no longer as hanging on a cross, but we know him as the resurrected Christ who has ascended to the Father, who sits at the right hand of God and ever lives to make intercession for you. Do you realize that right now, that Jesus is praying for you, that as you listen to this program, he's praying for you because he doesn't want Christmas. He doesn't want this holiday. Yes, you may say it's a pagan holiday. It doesn't matter. To me, it's not a pagan holiday. To me, it is celebrating the birth of Jesus, born to die so that I, who was dead, might live, and so that you can. So when did he plan this? Well, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 4, just as he, God the Father, chose us in him, in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. So before he ever spoke and brought the world into existence, precious one, he chose you. Now, he didn't choose to reveal himself to me until I was 29 years of age. So you're going to do your math real quickly, aren't you? And you're going to find out, okay, how old I am, because I was saved when I was 29 and it was July 16th, 1963. Do your math, but do it later. All right? Now, he saved you. He saved you when he wanted to save you. He could have saved me as a child, but he didn't give me the gift of his love, the recognition of the gift of his love, or the gift of his son until July 16th, 1963. When did it happen to you? And you say, I don't know. And I'm not really sure. I go to church and I do my best. But I'm really not sure that if I were to die, I would go to heaven. Oh, beloved, this Christmas is going to be so different, because this Christmas, you can be sure, today you can receive the gift of God's Son. You can look at that Christmas tree and see another tree behind it, or really in front of it. And that's the tree where Jesus was hung. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then it says that Jesus was made a curse for us. He was made sin for you, hung on God's Christmas tree, the cross, so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. That's what Christmas is all about. And when did God plan it? It says he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. So he chose you before the foundation of the world. If he chose you in Christ, then before the foundation of the world, God planned the death of Jesus Christ for you. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. You sit in your living room, you have your decorations around you, and as you look at them, beloved, this is what you planned. You said, this is what I want to do, and you got the materials and whatever was necessary in order to decorate your home. God planned Christmas, as we saw. He planned it before the foundation of the world. Jesus was born to die that you and I might live. And yet there was a time, just as there's a day that we celebrate Christmas, December 25th. So God had a day. And I want you to see that Christmas is not only planned, but Christmas is also a time when a process is begun, the process of making known to you salvation as a free gift, the gift of love. In John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when he said he gave his son, he's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, and the death of Jesus Christ. But it all has to have a beginning. And so, consequently, we go to Galatians chapter 4. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you're able, if you're in a safe place where you can stop and open your Bible. But it's so important to me that you see this truth for yourself. So if you didn't get down Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. I want to make sure that you write those down and that you read those verses. But now let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And it says this, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons in the fullness of time. It's the fullness of time. Today is the fullness of time. Today is the time when God in his sovereignty has you listening to these words of truth from the Word of God. Today is the day when God is saying to you so very clearly, I love you. I love you. And I have planned your redemption. I love you, and I want you to know that this is a process that I began before the foundation of the world, but I started the actual coming of my son in the fullness of time. Almost 2,000 years ago, beloved, Jesus was born so that you and I, who were dead, might live. And so he wants us to understand that. But he also wants us to understand that there was a purpose in the coming of Jesus Christ. There was a purpose, and I want you to see this purpose, and I want you to understand it, especially in a day when we elevate men and when we honor them beyond really what they should be honored, where we have almost a hero worship. Well, in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 28, we read this scripture, Matthew chapter 20, and it is verse 28. And it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, to be ministered unto, but to serve, to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to just sometime go to your Christmas tree and take your Bible and put your Bible at the foot of that Christmas tree as a present from God. And I want you to visualize it under the tree. And as you look at that tree, remember we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the coming of the Son of God, the one who has come not to be served, but to serve, the one who has come to give his life as a ransom for many. And I want you to remember John chapter 1 as you look at this. In John chapter 1, this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being except what he has made. He made you. He made you. But then in the fullness of time, go down to John chapter 1, verse 14. In the fullness of time, the Word became flesh. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So take that Bible, put it at the base of the Christmas tree. And sanctify, in a sense, that Christmas tree. Make it a symbol of the joy that comes in the one who came not to be served, but to serve, but also to give his life as a ransom for many. And as you see that, beloved, as you see that Bible there, and you might do that on Christmas Eve. You might sit down with your family and read the Christmas story. But if I read the Christmas story, I would read in Luke, let's say, about the birth of Jesus Christ. But then I would go to the end of Luke or to the end of John or Mark or Matthew, and I would read about the death of Jesus Christ, because I want you to see that Christmas was planned for you. That Christmas has a, that there is a process to Christmas, but that Christmas also has a purpose, and that is that Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. But finally, I want you to see that Christmas has a price. The price of Christmas, Jesus was born to die. And the price of Christmas is that God loved you so much that he would give his son for you. We saw that in John chapter 3, verse 16. And I want to go back there in just a minute. But before we go back there, I want to read Romans chapter 8 to you. And I want you to understand that this is God's gift and God's message to you today. We know that God keeps on causing all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to God's purpose. When God saves you, he has a purpose for your life. And it says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined, he marked out beforehand to become conformed to the image of his son. He wants you to become more like him. And he's going to use everything in your life to do this. And then it says, and whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. He says, if I saved you, I want you to know that I save you once and for all, and that I'm going to take you to heaven with me. And you and I are going to come back down to this earth, and we're going to live on this earth. And Jesus is going to rule and reign as King of Kings, and you are going to be there ruling and reigning with him. And so he says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? John 3:16, God so loved the world, and I want you to put your name there, that he gave his only begotten son. If you haven't received Jesus yet, if you haven't received the gift of life, the gift of love, then I want you to say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your son for me. Thank you that he was born to die, to pay for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I confess that I need your love. I need your gift of your son. I need forgiveness. And I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to embrace the word. And right now, I tell you, God, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, my God, my master. I want to serve you. And I thank you in faith for the gift of eternal life, for the gift of love, your love. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word. where it happened.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
What can you do, beloved, this year so that you are so aware of the love of God, so that Christmas keeps its magic in the proper sense, its magic of what the real reason for the season is? And the reason for the season is this, that Jesus was born, Jesus the Christ, the promised one, the anointed one, the one that had been waited for over 4,000 millennia. That one has come. He has been born, and he was born for you, and he was born for me. He came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. What can you do so that you keep your focus in the proper place? Well, this is what I often do. I read through a gospel. I read through either Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. And I start it, and I don't know when you're hearing this program, but I started just at the beginning of December. And I start reading through because it's good for me to refresh my mind, to bring to my remembrance the birth of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I read this, I concentrate and focus on the way that Christ loved people, the way that he expressed this love, the way that he dealt with us. And as I do that, it's like I'm bathed in truth. So that when I go shopping or when I go to the grocery store, and you may go to the beauty parlor, you may go get your nails done, or you guys may go, you know, out and play golf, or if you're just a golf fanatic and you're able to, whatever you're doing, you're focusing on him because you've begun your day with him and you've closed your day with him. If you would just stop and think of at least spending the last 5 minutes before you go to sleep of rehearsing what you have read in the Word of God that day and the love of God. And what I would suggest also is that you take this prayer from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19, and you could add on 20 and 21, and you write it out. And you put it on the dashboard of your car. You put it on the refrigerator. And you tell God, God, you say that you are able to do exceeding abundant above all that I ask or think. And what I'm asking and thinking this Christmas is, I want to know greater, the greater depth of your love. I want to experience it. I want to be rooted and grounded in it.
Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.